Good morning. The time is 9:01, and I'm going to call this meeting of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection to order. It's great to see such a goodly number of visitors here with us today in our brand new facility. So we're pleased to have you here, and welcome to the new headquarters for the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. And along that note, I'd like to commend staff for the hard work that they've been putting in the last couple of months to make this move possible. So we look forward to many more great meetings to come here and activities that all benefit the Texas Fire Service. And with that, we'll move into our agenda. So I'll move to item number one.
Have the pledge. You'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yep, but item number one.
Call to order with invocation and Pledge of Allegiance.
Please stand.
Please
join me as we pay respects to the flag of our country. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now the flag of our state. Please be seated. Commissioner, I'm sorry, let's stay standing for the invocation. Commissioner, listen to our invocation.
Sure.
Sorry about that.
Lord God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for this time here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity at life for another day of just experiencing you. We pray, Lord, that you would be over this meeting today. Lord, that you would grant each of us wisdom. We're asking for wisdom beyond reproach, Lord, as we make decisions that affect first responders across this great state. Lord, thank you for everyone that is here represented today. We pray for safe travels on our way back home. And it's in the holy name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. We'll move on to aisle number two.
Roll call, excuse commissioner absences. Commissioner Cantu.
Here.
Commissioner Copeney.
Here.
Commissioner DeVillis.
Right here.
Commissioner Frieda.
Here.
Mr. Glenn.
Here.
Mr. Hamilton.
Here.
Mr. Johnson.
Here.
Mr. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Morgan is here. Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Chairman Steelman.
Here.
Mr. Vandegrift.
Here.
Mr. Wilson.
Here.
All are present.
All right. Good deal. We'll move straight into item number three.
Approve the commission meeting minutes of October 26, 2023.
Commissioners, you should have had an opportunity to review the minutes from our last commission meeting, and unless there's any comments or questions, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Have a motion second. By Commissioner Glenn, second by Commissioner Wilson. Any other discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes. Item four.
The Budget and Strategic Plan Subcommittee met on October 26, 2023 before the Commission meeting and provided a report relating to any recommendations developed by the Subcommittee relating to the modifications to the agency's operating budget and strategic plan. So as Chair of that Subcommittee, we do need to add some additional members so we can get to five at least, and let's try to get that done today if we can. We proceed with that.
Sure.
Get some volunteers, hopefully.
He said the word volunteer. Would anybody like to help serve on the Strategic Planning Committee?
Well, if there's a few already on it, correct?
Yeah.
And
you are.
I am.
I think Glenn, Michael is. Are you, Mr. Cantu?
But you should put me on there.
Okay.
If I'm not.
So Cantu, Hamilton, Glenn, me. I need one more.
I'll do it.
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. Okay, so we'd like to get together before the next commission meeting. We'd like to do that remotely. Can legal tell us if that would be okay?
Yes, you're going to be discussing, confidential budget situations. So it will not be under the Open Meetings Act and can be done remotely.
Okay, great.
I'm going to go ahead and verify all that, but
okay.
As long as it's confidential budget-type situations, there's no problem with doing a remote meeting.
So I'd like to schedule that for April. Is there any particular day that's bad for anyone? We'll get with staff and figure out a good day for that. Is that good? I think the primary thing is to look at the strategic plan and getting it updated as directed by the state. but we'll also take a look at the budget as well. So thank you for volunteering. Greatly appreciated. We'll be hearing from us shortly.
The week of April the 8th right now is a wide open week. I mean, we could, if that works for everybody, we can find a day in there that week.
Sure.
Any other discussion or questions on that item? I want to back up just a minute. I skipped over it. I did it yesterday at the workshop, but I'd like to welcome our newest commissioner, Mr. Michael Johnson. Commissioner Johnson joins us for the first meeting here today as one of our public members, and we're certainly glad to have him. As you can tell, he's already jumping into the commission business with both feet and certainly excited about that. So welcome again, sir.
Thank you all for having me. Thank you all for coming.
We'll move on to item number 5.
Reports from fire service interest groups and agencies on matters relating to their specific organizational purposes, functions, activities, and objectives, including reports from TEAC, Texas Fire Chiefs Association, Texas Association of State Firefighters and Fire Marshal Association of Texas, the Texas Fire Marshal Association, the Texas Association of Fire Educators, the Texas A&M Forest Service, the National Fire Protection Association, Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, the Center for Public Safety Excellence, the State Fire Marshal's Office, and the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
Okay, we'll begin that with TEAKS.
Good morning, Gordon Lohmeyer with TEAKS. Give you an update about activities that we have going on and things that have just transpired. The second week in January, we hosted our 16th annual Leadership Development Symposium in San Marcos, Texas. We had 1,034 participants, so that's our high water mark for the most attendees for any LDS. This Sunday, we'll start our 36th annual spring school. We have 400 students pre-registered for that event, so we're looking forward to a really high-quality educational opportunity for those students as well. In the next coming upcoming months, we'll also begin construction on a new five-story fire drill tower at the field. It'll replace Prop 53, the old warehouse facility. So we're looking forward to that and adding a new dimension to our training capabilities as well. And then electric vehicles or battery electric vehicles. We've been doing a lot of work in this space. In October, we hosted an EV summit in Fort Worth, Texas, had some of the thought leaders from around the state that attended that. From that EV summit, we posted a white paper of best practices that came out of the summit. And we also have a EV safety for first responder training course. So if you're interested in looking at the white paper or participating in this no-fee-based training, please go to TEAKS.org for both of those things. So as we progress in our knowledge and education of electric vehicles in response to those types of emergencies, we're going to be embarking upon testing at Southwest Research Institute in San Antonio, Texas. So we're setting dates right now, and we're going to be testing gear, apparatus material, both traditional and clean cab configurations, and then SCBA straps. So we're going to be looking for some very specific data to share with the fire service across the state from these tests. So we're going to be looking at VOCs, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, and probably most importantly, heavy metals. So that will be information that will be coming very soon. We'll share this across the state. And I think it's going to help a lot of departments to develop SOPs and SOGs to the response of battery electric vehicles, micro mobility devices, and energy storage systems. Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you, Gordon. Any questions for TEAKS? Gordon, I want to thank you guys on the work that you're doing on EV. That is such a huge trend right now across the country, and I feel like we're a little bit behind the curve, and I hope you guys are helping close that gap up for us. So thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
All right, next up is the Texas Fire Chiefs Association. I spoke with Chief Malliner yesterday at the consortium meeting. He was not going to be able to be in attendance today, but he did give me a few things to read off, so I'll do that real quick. Attendance continues to grow. The total membership as of the last workshop in December was 788, and that's up from 540 back in 2020, so that's a pretty good trend upward. A lot of training events coming up. The next big training event for the Fire Chiefs Association will be their annual executive conference. It'll be held March 19th to 22nd in Waco. There are several offerings of the Company Officer Symposium that are coming up, February 26th to the 28th in Parker County. Oh, that one just happened. April 8th through the 20th, Galveston. April 22nd to the 24th, Wichita Falls. May 6th to the 8th in Sugar Land, June 17th to the 19th in San Angelo. Battalion Chiefs Academy will happen in Waco on May 6th through the 10th. And then the Fire Chiefs Academy is scheduled for Grapevine June 2nd through the 7th. And there's also been a lot of work done on the best practices front for you departments that may have best practices designation. Check out the website. They've kind of gone to the next phase or the next level of the best practices process. So if you're getting close to that renewal period when you need to go through that process again, it's probably going to be a few changes that you might want to get acclimated to. So that's pretty much it for the Fire Chiefs Association. Any commissioners, any questions on any of that? All right. Next, we'll move on to the Texas State Association of Firefighters.
No report today.
All right. Thank you. Next up is the State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas.
Good morning. I'm Donnie Boggs. I'm president of the State Firefighter and Fire Marshal Association. Commissioners, agency chief, thank you for allowing this opportunity to speak on behalf of our association. First thing I would like to do is let's certainly keep prayers for our responders and our forestry service people up in the panhandle. That's just something unbelievable to see what's going on up there. A lot of our members are taking active role in that. With that said, some of you may know that our executive director, Tim Rutland, submitted his retirement notice back in September to retire in January. At that time, I put together a search team that interviewed several applicants and then narrowed that field down. We did final interviews on January 7th with two finalists. One of those did accept a position with us. His name is Dan Kramer. Some of you may know him. He has a well-rounded background in the fire service. He came on board February 5th, hit the floor running, and I think he's going to be a good addition to us. Some of you may know that we were experiencing some issues with our certification program and the data tracker that we had. And at that time, we was trying to figure out what's the best route to go. And what that ended up being was the individual that built your FIDO program for your career departments was ready to come to work for us, and he built our system. It is up and running, pretty well complete, very simple. If I can work it, pretty much anybody can work it. I will tell you that. Darrell is wanting to add a few more features to it, which is fine and good. But with that new data tracker, people are starting to get right back involved with us. So as of yesterday, we've already had 13,000-plus renewals that's come through that system. That's how simple it is. We've never had that number that high this early. And talking about your energy storage systems, the SSMA was invited to come to Copperhead Solar, which is just kind of east-southeast of Waco, and look at that facility up there, because that's one of our responders' biggest problems out in the field is the solar farms and their storage system. And it's unique. Depending on how those cabinets are constructed and who manufactures them depends on how bad it's going to get. I will tell you this, that the Fluent Energy up there that built those cabinets have got them where they're pretty well contained, and those modules stay in that one cabinet. Flames may emit from them, but it doesn't really set off any of the others. But if those are not constructed the same way every place,
then it can get bad. And that's some of the problems that we're having in the Central Texas area. Those solar farms are coming in faster than we can really address them. But we're going to deal with it. Our 2024 conference will be June 27th through the 30th in San Marcos, Texas, Embassy Suite. If you notice, that is a shortened conference from what we've traditionally had. We'll run Thursday through noon on Sunday. We will actually do our training as we normally do. We'll have reports from our stakeholders and look forward to having y'all down. I do want to invite your commissioners. If you have a chance, come down and see what we're doing down there. We've got some good changes that are going on in the HN Association. Hotels are filling up fast, I will tell you that. Registration is open if you'd like to register for that conference. And with that, we're going to continue working on additional certifications for our members and look forward to working hand in hand. I know me and Chief Wisco have really been talking and conversing a lot, but I feel like that's what I'm going with here. So I'm open for any questions that you may have.
Commissioners, any questions?
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right, next up will be the Texas Association of Fire Educators.
Luckily, I speak loud enough. I think we'll be all right. Good morning. Jason Jackson on behalf of the Texas Association of Fire Educators. First off, I just want to say thank you to the commission. The continued support we have for the association continues to allow us to grow in our membership, and we had a record attendance this year at our conference earlier this month. Our conference with the record attendance and new membership, we're actually going to add on an extra day to our conference next year at the request of our membership geared towards a one-day seminar on mental health and wellness. It'll be a one-day pre-conference seminar ahead of our conference. So we're looking forward to that. We already started that planning process. It's already starting to come together pretty well. Our next conference is February 3rd through the 7th next year, 2025, back in Corpus Christi. The other thing that I'm excited to say is we put a group of folks together while we were at the conference, and we're already hitting the ground running on doing some professional development out across the state geared towards fire instructors, training officers, and training programs. And so we're already working on getting some of that out across the state of Texas to kind of help move forward the Texas Fire Service as we can. End of report.
All right. Commissioners, any questions for Taffy? Jason, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Next up is the Texas A&M Forest Service.
Hey, good morning, Commissioners, Chief Wisco, Wes Moorhead, Fire Chief and Associate Director of Texas A&M Forest Service. Last report out I had with the Commission, I told you that our fire numbers were low and acreage were low. We got plenty of rain over the summer, and it put everything below average for us. We caught up very, very quickly over the last 7 days, as y'all seen in Amarillo and surrounding area. So in the last 7 days, our agency has responded to 130 wildfires, totaling just a little over 1 million acres. Locals have responded to an additional 200 wildfires for another 50,000 acres. So our five largest wildfires that are currently uncontained are the Smokehouse Creek Fire in Hutchinson County. That one, if you look at our wires report, it's listed at 850,000 acres. We did get an update overnight from a ship that flew that, and that is coming in at just over 1 million acres itself, actually 1,070,000 acres. Now, 29,000 acres of that is in Oklahoma, but by far one of our larger fires in the state. If not the largest, it'll probably be the second largest. Still some debate on that one. The Windy Deuce Fire is in Moore County. It's at listed at 142,000 acres. The Grapevine Creek Fire is listed at 30,000 acres. The 687 Reamer Fire in Hutchinson County, that one has merged with the Smokehouse Fire. It was 2,000 acres before it merged. And lastly, the Magenta Fire in Oldham County, 2,500 acres. So all of those are currently uncontained. We do have favorable weather today. As Commissioner Hamilton will report, we are getting snow on those fires. And so our crews are making good progress, putting in good line. It is going to take some time just when you have 1 million acres of black out there and active fire. It's going to take some time to fully line those. We have mobilized a lot of assets to respond to that area. Currently, we have 15 TIFMIS strike teams in play with two crew modules. That's 271 personnel and 78 engines. The bulk of that, probably 97% of that, is in the Panhandle. We've got two short teams, the Texas A&M All-Hazard Incident Management Teams, two of those deployed up there. We have three EMTF packages deployed. We're currently working six single-engine air tankers, and we have two large air tankers coming in. They'll be on station at 1200 tomorrow. In addition to that fleet, we are adding two super scoopers. You may be familiar with these. We brought these in 2023. They're the large yellow birds that come in from Canada. They can scoop on open water and drop just short of 3,000 gallons. Impressive aircraft. They'll be in early next week. We also have one TMD Chinook working in the Panhandle currently. We did bring in the blue team. If you're familiar with the Type 1 teams, those have transitioned to the complex incident management teams now across the nation. The blue team is on site. They will assume command of both the Smokehouse Fire and the Windy Deuce Fire. They'll assume command of those at end of shift today, and so they'll be managing it. That is a 58-person team. They're well-known across the nation, and they do a really good job with these type of fires. I think that is it for my report. If you've got any questions, I'll be happy to address them. Otherwise, I will.
Commissioners, any questions for Texas A&M Forest Service? Wes, thank you for being here. I know you guys are covered up right now, so I appreciate you taking time to be here with us today.
Absolutely, absolutely. I appreciate that. I did want to recognize that we have Director Al Davis in-house today. Commissioner Cotney will recognize him from former Teaks fame. And Director Davis and I are hitting the road. I apologize, but we're going to head up to the Panhandle.
You guys stay safe out there.
Thank you very much.
Next up is the National Fire Protection Association.
Kelly notified she wasn't going to be here. She's tied up at another meeting.
All right. State. We'll move on to the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts.
Good morning. Clay Avery, Executive Director of the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, or if you don't want to say all that, SAFE-D is what we're called. We are the Association for Emergency Services Districts, or ESDs, for the benefit of our new public member and for anyone else in the room who doesn't know. ESDs are governmental entities, special districts like school districts, hospital districts, library districts, that levy a tax, small tax, and provide resources for first responders, for fire protection, and or, in some cases, EMS service. We, as far as SAFE-D goes, we just had our annual conference literally last week. We expected, going up to North Texas in Irving, an area that is not really rife with ESDs, we expected about 750 to 800 people. We had over 1,000 attendees, so everyone keeps telling me it's a nice problem to have. I keep saying, well, that's still a problem. But we dealt with it. We fit everybody in tightly. We had some great presentations. I think Chief Kerwood was there. Chief DeYeer, where'd you go? He was speaking. A few others, great presentations. We really did some great education for our ESD commissioners. ESDs, of course, are governed by a board of five commissioners that are required to get continuing education hours. One of the big things coming out of our conference is this idea of regionalization, something y'all have been working on for a while now, having different parts of the state segmented so we can build these constituencies that give us feedback on what issues are the hot topics in different areas. To that end, we had these regional meetings. We redesigned our regions to sort of line up with TDEM and the Forest Service. There's a little bit of line changing there because of the way ESDs are distributed throughout the state. But we have seven regions now, and we're looking to be more active in those individual regions, sort of following the commission's lead. Chief Wisco yesterday at the consortium meeting gave me the list of planned regional meetings that y'all are having going out there. And we're going to try to kind of follow y'all a little bit, if possible. Some of those meetings are during the week. Our ESD commissioners, it's usually their second job. So they usually have to kind of do their training on Saturday. So we'll figure that out. But that's a big initiative that we have there. And then obviously the legislature will be here before we know it next January. So we're starting to gear up for that and get our platform together. But otherwise, that's what's going on at SAFE-D, and I'll take your questions.
Commissioners, any questions? Clay, thank you. Next up is the Center for Public Safety Excellence. We'll move on. After that is the State Fire Marshal's Office.
Good morning, Commissioners. Chief Wisco. I'm Chuck Allen. I'm the new Assistant State Fire Marshal at the State Fire Marshal's Office, and Chief Knight's the new State Fire Marshal, and she's currently in Brady for the sentencing hearing for the Mason County Courthouse fire and the after action with district attorney there. A couple things. The State Fire Marshal's Office is re-ramping back up. Some of you may remember the Fire Marshal discussion series we did several years ago. We'll be starting those back up. April the 3rd will be our first one. It'll be in Beaumont. The second one will be June 18th. We'll be hosted on the campus of UT Dallas. The third one will be going to the Panhandle on September the 18th, somewhere around the Texas Tech campus. We don't have a facility secured just yet. And December the 18th, we'll be traveling to the Rio Grande Valley, and we do not have a facility set just yet. So Typically, they used to be 2 days. We're doing a 1 day right now to just get everybody back informed of the state fire marshal's office. We've also invited, I think Chief Wisco is going to show up with us and give a short presentation, as well as TCO and some of our other state partners that want to come and give just a briefing on what's going on in their world, so we can let our fire service, law enforcement, and other state partners know what's going on across the state with all of our agencies. Any questions?
Commissioners, any questions for the State Fire Marshal's Office? Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you all.
Next up is the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
Hi. Good morning, Commissioners. Chief Wisco, Michael Anderson, the regional advocate covering FEMA Region 6, state of Texas, and the neighboring states. Since my last report to the commission, there's been some changes with the foundation. You may have seen, or many of you heard, that Chief Sarnicky is retired after serving for 22 years as the executive director of the foundation and is looking to go enjoy retirement life, which, if any of you know Chief Sarnicky, that will still be fast-paced. Moving over and transitioning in the role of CEO was Victor Stagnaro, who was the chief of staff and managing director under Chief Sarnicky for years. So that transition has continued and is smooth, and looking forward to those things. Partner organization of the foundation, the First Responder Center for Excellence, was a branch that was branched off a few years ago to take areas of the foundation's work in research, cardiovascular health, mental health, and behavioral health, and other areas to a different side of the foundation, aside from the initial mission of honoring those fallen firefighters and helping the families. You may have seen that Frank Lieb was recently named as the managing director of the FRCE. Chief Lieb, a deputy assistant chief from FDNY, has hit the ground running in the last few years, concentrating on the areas of cancer awareness and cancer prevention and behavioral health. Along with the other change, many of you know Dr. Chief Danny Kistner. Don't know how to properly put all those titles together. But he has come on after retiring from his chief duties on as the managing director of the fire program, well, it used to be fire programs. It's got a long new title, fire programs and outreach, in the management role for the Everyone Goes Home team. So those are the changes from the foundation. As many of you are attendees and have engaged in the operations, you'll see those personnel. Over the last year time frame, we've continued the work in engaging with TEKS on our Memorandum of Understanding in expanding the course offerings. We have now spent the last 3 years doing train the trainers to the TEKS staff so that they are all empowered and equipped to go out on request to produce the provide the foundation courses. Along with the expansion of those offerings here in Texas, the Fire Hero Learning Network, the online learning program, has expanded. There's now over 25 online modules available to all members of the fire service. And really the recent updates have been regarding prevention activities and systems courses. There's courses on energy storage systems, sprinkler systems and such. And it kind of follows a trend I'll get to here in a minute. So I encourage all attendees and everyone to continue to look at the FHLN as a learning platform for members of the fire service, and I will always entertain engaging with the commission on what I can do to help correlate and connect those courses and offerings in with any of the commission's activities. And really kind of the last thing is, the foundation has been equally a partner working with the U.S. Fire Administration Administrator Dr. Lori Moore Merrill on the activities since she's taken office and control. And I encourage to continue to be engaged with the work following the Truman Report and the Life Safety Summit. And if you're aware of those reports, and many of the attendees in the room here were part of some of those meetings and activities, these activities have followed an idea of the prevention. Continuing to be engaged in the fire prevention business. And we're happy to continue working with Dr. Lori, as we all call her, on those activities. A couple of things that she is continuing to do is in May 8th and 9th, 5th, 5th through the 8th, I'm sorry. The U.S. Fire Administration, in coordination with the foundation, will be hosting the first International World Fire Congress, bringing over agencies from across the world together to talk about fire, common fire issues and trends that affect us all. And last but not least, I'd encourage everyone to keep in mind the families of the fallen and the fellow firefighters and agencies that suffered a line of duty death, as they'll be honored in Emmitsburg May 4th and 5th this year. End of report.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions for the Fallen Firefighters Foundation? Thank you.
Thank you.
I need to back up. I realize I skipped over one agency, I think I did this last time too, the Texas Fire Marshals Association. Is anyone here representing them today? Maybe that's why I skipped over. All right, apologies for that. Okay, that closes out item number 5. We'll move to item 6.
Report from Commission Representative to the Homeland Security Council.
I have nothing to report, as their meeting fell at the same time as the leadership symposium, so that's where I was at.
Okay. We'll move to item 7.
Report from the Curriculum and Testing Committee.
They don't necessarily have a report, but I can update you that they were here last week. They're working with staff on some updates based on our IFSAC inspection, and I'll tell you more about that in the agency report. And they're also focused on all the NFPA revisions and everything that's going on with NFPA and trying to keep our stuff up to date. So they're busy. They didn't have anything to report out of their last meeting.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions for testing and curriculum? We need to get back to them. All right. We'll move on to item number 8.
Subjects for future commission meeting agendas.
Commissioners, is there anything you'd like to see placed on the future agenda for further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'd like for for the group to be able to perhaps review our procedure for reciprocity regarding the crosswalk between TCFP and SFFMA certifications. A little background in history. And Commissioner Hamilton can chime in here too when he feels it's needed. But a little background, currently, if you have a TCFP firefighter certification, you can walk across the street and simply just pay your money and get SFFMA certification. However, the street doesn't work both ways. SFFMA certification, you walk across the street to TCFP, you have to retest all your skills. Based on some of the upgrades that we've done and changes into our certification program, we're now with fully compliant NFP 1001. Our skills, our examiners are vetted. Our testing procedure is secure. I think it's time to revisit that to see if we can, couldn't go back maybe a couple of updates to the curriculum, but perhaps those folks that are gaining SFMA certification can get equal reciprocity through to Texas Commission on Fire Protection. I think it would benefit both sides of the street as well as our members as a whole.
Okay. Any other discussion, commissioners? So staff will bring us some information
next
meeting.
If you like, we'll work with Dan and the folks at SFFMA and start taking a look at that, and we'll have something for the next meeting. We'll have it as an agenda item. We can have some discussion.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, any other topics for the next meeting?
Well, I have one.
Commissioner Johnson.
And Whitney being new, excuse me if I'm not familiar if we already have this going, but if we do not have some type of certification training for 55-plus apartment complexes, because one thing that I've noticed, and this is just from personal experience with, you know, mother and family that lives in these apartments, a lot of these senior citizens don't have, they don't know how to operate fire extinguishers. And I would think if we can include some type of certification where active firefighters, active fire marshals can go and probably train, you know, that would probably help. I know we were listening to a program yesterday about a lot of different certifications. If we had a certification where people can actively go into these apartment complexes and do some training, and they can go into their CE hours, that type of stuff, you know, I think that would be helpful. If we could just talk about it, maybe.
We We could certainly talk about it. I mean, it's covered in the fire inspector certification that we already have, but if it's time to do a review of that, we can do that, or I can work with Commissioner Johnson this 101 and okay. catch him up and see if that answers it, and if it doesn't, then right. we'll put something on the agenda.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Appreciate that.
All right. Commissioners, any other topics? Okay. We'll move on to aisle number 9.
Discussion on future meeting dates.
All right, Commissioners, I believe at the end of last year, we are at the last meeting, we set our dates. So we'll just recap and reconfirm those. So our next meeting will be, I have it down as May 16th. The meeting after that will be a workshop and a meeting held on August the 14th for the workshop and 15th for the meeting. And then the final meeting for the year will be November 21st. Does anybody have anything different? Staff, are we still good?
We're still good. We
don't have to ask
room
for room anymore, do we?
We got our own room.
Good deal.
And just for a point of order, we had the consortium meeting yesterday, and we will align those meetings the day before your commission meeting, so I'll work on getting that set up.
Yeah. Okay. Commissioners, any questions or concerns over the future meeting dates?
No, sir.
All right. We'll move on to item number 10.
Discussion and possible action on 37 Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 467, Fire Marshal.
Mr. Chairman. I would like to request that we withdraw the this agenda item for right now. We, working with our legal counsel, we've identified a couple of reference issues throughout the rule, and we couldn't make the changes here because that's not what went to the register for final adoption. And as opposed to having a rule change, chasing a rule change, we'd rather just pull this back. Let's make all the corrections we need to make, and we'll bring it back in May. Now, it would come back as a new proposal because there will be some significant changes to the references, but it doesn't have any impact on the certifications that are being issued right now. It's a clerical issue, but it's pretty substantial, and it wouldn't. I think it would be messier to have a rule chase than a rule change.
So I'll ask legal counsel, is it most appropriate to take no action or to table?
Table it until the next meeting. We'll correct the citations in the proposed rule to make sure that the rule is valid as it stands now. It's not valid on its face due to the incorrect citations.
Okay.
But we'll go ahead and correct that and publish it to the Texas Register way beforehand and then take it up on the next meeting.
Okay. Commissioner, you've heard the recommendation from staff. I'll entertain a motion to table this item.
So moved.
Man. Everybody.
I need two names.
So since he's sitting closest, Commissioner Jones made that motion.
Second.
Commissioner Wilson seconded it. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we'll move to item 11.
Discussion and possible action on Texas Division of Emergency Management presentation presented in the commission workshop on February 28th, 2024.
Okay. Commissioners, I know we heard the presentation from TDM yesterday about folding in a possible certification for emergency managers into our wheelhouse at the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. Had opportunity to go home, think about it, sleep on it. Any other conversations need to happen or questions? I know we have TDM staff back here again with us today to answer those for us. So, Commissioner Cody.
Good morning. I don't have any particular questions, but I think this is long overdue. You know, we've talked about the level of certifications we have for firefighters, police officers, ranging from the basic up to the master. The course structure and criteria it takes to get there, along with professional development and other education. I think TDM did an exceptional job yesterday of outlining what the program would look like, and I believe that the only I don't want to call them certification programs that are out there, really voluntary credentialing models that you can go under the Certified Emergency Manager model or the Texas Emergency Manager model. I think this would be the professional tracking model that we need to make sure that they are certified to do their job, and it would be ensuring that the people of Texas are safer by the people who take these jobs have some professional development training and credentialing to go in and actually do the role.
Very well.
Mr. Jones. I agree with everything Chief Coatney said. And you know, I'd asked a question yesterday about how this has been the first time it came out. And so the only thing that I would encourage is, because I do think this is very important, it's an important role as we've seen in the wildfires and everything going on with emergency management. I talked to our emergency manager last night. He was very excited about having a track. And I think it could put the whole state on a level like we've seen with fire marshal and everything else. But with that being said, I do encourage us and would like to make a motion that we send this to the testing curriculum committee. So we just follow the same process we follow with every certification that we've done, just so we can get a bunch of eyes on it, everybody's eyes on it, work through it, and make sure we do it right the first time and get it where it does, you know, benefit the whole state as a whole. So my motion would be that we accept their proposal. It's very, very well done. However, I would like to see us follow the process and send this to the testing curriculum committee.
So, commissioners, I have a motion on the floor to move this item to curriculum and testing for further review.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Jones, second by Commissioner Hamilton. Is there any other discussion on this matter? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. We'll move to item 12.
Discussion and possible action on filling the current vacancies on committees.
Okay. Again, commissioners, we had a lot of conversation in the workshop about this topic yesterday. Again, you've had the opportunity to go home, think about it, sleep on it, mull it over. Is there anything else that, any other stones we need to overturn? We hit a lot of things yesterday. Anything anyone would like to discuss?
Mr. Chairman, I think for the benefit of the audience today, maybe we'll let our legal counsel just do a quick synopsis of his legal brief that you all were provided prior to yesterday, and just so everybody can understand exactly what was discussed and might help understand the discussion that's going to take place today.
No, I think that'd be great. Frank, we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. The last meeting on October 26th, the commission passed or voted to implement the proposed 37 TAC Chapter 463 Advisory Committee Practice and Procedures. And based on some questions by Commissioner Glenn, I wrote up, did some research, and wrote up a brief interpreting what these terms mean in the TAC Rule 463.7. And basically what it does is it differentiates between the holdover members of the standing advisory committees, curriculum and testing, firefighter advisory committee, and health and wellness committee. And under the statute, those members, the existing members, their terms expire, and they're every year, 24, 25, 26, 27, 2 to 3 committee members. Appointments expire. At that point, the commission would come back and appoint the new committee members. These may be the same ones. You may just reappoint the holdover members. But under the rule, it establishes a six-year term starting on the date that you're appointed. And then the holdover members, their terms expire 30 days before you vote on it. So basically what this did was just define the difference between the holdover members whose terms expire and then the initial appointment members commence as soon as the commissioners appoint them. And like I said, it's staggered over the next 4 years. You know, once a year, you know, the holdovers expire, you appoint new ones, and then they begin their six-year term. And hopefully I made that clear in my brief.
Commissioners, any questions for legal?
I got one. I do have a question.
Mr. Bloom.
I might have missed this, but I definitely missed it in the conversation yesterday. That you, do I understand you say that if we're going to vote on, well, the expiration of a holdover term, holdover member's term, you just said something about that it would expire 30 days prior to us voting on that?
Yes, under the statute, their terms expire 30 days before you appoint the new members. Or it may be the same one.
Right. So that puts us with a gap once it hits the agenda. I'm looking back through your brief, and I'm looking back through. I'm just not seeing that. But it definitely wasn't part of the conversation yesterday. I guess you're telling me it's a state law, so there's nothing to do about it anyways. But it's just that was missed.
Let's hope nothing happens in that 30-day period.
Right.
But, we would make sure that the advisory committees don't have any sort of meetings during that 30-day period because, you know, there could be a possibility of a vote or something that would not be valid.
So are you talking, are you, in, to make sure I'm on the right spot, in the brief, question number two, towards the end, it means that the holdover members' terms expire before the commissioner's meeting. That's what you're,
yes.
Just 30 days wasn't listed in there. That's where it just wasn't seen. Okay.
Commissioner Glenn, if I could add, try to help Frank a little bit, only because he's new.
Sure.
We would only be looking at replacing one or two members at a time, so it should not affect the quorum of the committee. But I can also tell you from the staff perspective, we try really hard not to have a committee meeting within 30 days of your meeting because it's too short a time for us to turn it around and get everything to the register on the agenda and in the notebook and all. So I don't think it'll be a problem. Yes, there'll be a gap for one or two seats, but I don't think it's not going to pose a problem where we can't continue to function. We'll be able to overcome that.
Sure. If I may, I will just go ahead and take this moment. I want to thank you, Mr. King, Frank, for responding very quickly to the questions that that we all, I think we all in some form or fashion shared, at least want to know the answer, and I'm the one who put them out to you. But I really do appreciate you actually being legal counsel working for us and listening to us. It's refreshing, just leave it at that, but it is nice to have the attorney that's working for the Texas Commission on Fire Protection actually working for the Texas Commission on Fire Protection and listening to the commissioners and getting us answers. So thank you very much. Appreciate your efforts.
You're welcome. And that's what I'm here for. And if y'all have any questions, got my email address, send it to me like Commissioner Glenn, and I'll be happy to answer.
Seems like a very simple thing, and it is, but but clearly it wasn't. So thank you. Appreciate you.
No, it wasn't.
Should have been.
Commissioners, any other questions? Okay, keep me on track here. If I remember right from our meeting yesterday in the workshop, we had a lot of discussion about developing an ad hoc committee to move forward with the next phase of this, which I guess would be called the implementation phase. We've done all the research. We've done our due diligence. We've talked about this ad nauseum, so it's time to take that next step. And if everybody is in agreement on that, then I would like to appoint an ad hoc committee of commissioners. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. Would we need to, like we talked about yesterday, would we need to adopt the SOP before we appoint an ad hoc?
I don't think it matters what order you're doing it in, but we do need the draft internal policy to be approved by you all so that we can work that way once after today's meeting or after whatever's decided. It doesn't matter how you do it. We just need to make sure that gets done while we're sitting here. If it helps, I can give you a quick recap of that. And I went back and double-checked last night after our conversation during the workshop. Everything that was talked about is addressed in here. I don't know if you have it in front of you or not. It was Exhibit 1 in Frank's brief. But under the policy, Section B outlines that there'll be a downloadable application form on the website. We'll work with our IT staff to ensure that happens, and then it'll be sent directly to me or to Sammy so that we can start gathering it and start vetting it as we discussed yesterday. The second part is once we do post it, we'll post it for 30 days. At the end of that 30 days, we'll compile the list and we will forward that to the ad hoc committee. That ad hoc committee will have a few days to set a meeting and then get together to narrow down the list of five candidates for each vacancy on the committee that we're taking applications for. And then that list will come back to you all with their decision, with that ad hoc committee's recommendation at your next meeting. Okay. So it's a short timeline. It's 65 days. There's plenty of time to get it done before the next meeting, but it's going to be some work. It's going to be pretty tight. So we will do our part to keep it on track. I think the first couple of steps, we need to come up with an application. We've started on that. Commissioner Johnson, I think he had the same problem I did last night. I've been able to sleep, and he gave me an idea this morning about that. And the only thing I would ask is when we conclude today, whoever the members of that ad hoc committee are, if we could gather up in our conference room on the third floor for about 15 minutes, show them this application, show them the idea on the advertisement we would do, and make sure we're headed in the right direction so that once we're ready, we can get going with that. And the only other direction I got yesterday from the workshop, I want to confirm, is that I will work with the chairperson of each of the committees to come up with a job description for those committees. And I think that can be done pretty quickly, as long as they don't have to convene a meeting and we have the whole committee drive to town and all that. I think I can work with those committee chairs in a matter of a couple of weeks and get that put together. But I just want to be clear on that and make sure I understand that right.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, everybody understanding the same thing? So I guess the one question is on adopting the proposed policy language.
It's not the rule. It's an internal policy right. For us to operate.
So we're clear
I would just like everybody's approval that it's acceptable the way it's written. We'll change it from a draft to an internal policy. A little unusual, but this one's important enough that I wanted y'all's buy-in on that before we proceed.
But I just want legal's advice on, because this is action that we're going to take. We're clear to do that with this because it's an internal policy, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So
I think that's right.
I'll entertain a motion to do that, to adopt that internal policy, and then we'll move forward to the next step.
So I will do that. Just a quick deal. Now, we are talking about off the first one. We're going to be doing, in 2024, we're doing 1 and 9 on all three committees and follow the schedule that will fit. And then in 25, we'll be doing 2, 10, and 11. And then 26 will be 3, 4, and 5. And then 27 will be 6, 7, and 8. And that is a position. That is not a person. It's just a chair that's on that committee.
That's correct.
If they do not fulfill that particular deal, then we'll be filling the expire of the left time on that position.
Yes. And the only thing I would add, we'll follow the schedule. But if there are any vacancies that occur outside of that, we'll add that to what you're seeking applications for. In particular, the Health and Wellness Committee has more than 2 vacancies right now, and we need to get them back up and running. So you may be selecting 4 or 5 members for that one. But, yes, sir, we'll keep with the list in here. And before any change or anything, we'll work with that ad hoc committee after the process. What do we need to fix? And we'll adjust this with everybody's buy-in as we move forward. But this will give us really the first model.
Right.
This is what we do, and we can start doing that every time, working with the ad hoc.
Will we notify our stakeholders that there will be 5 people selected for each position?
Yes.
We'll look at that.
We'll put out the notice that we're accepting applications, and we'll share that with all the stakeholders with all the information that needs to be part of that to make that clear.
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions or comments?
I just want to confirm, and I know people are in the back and throughout are having trouble hearing, so I just want to confirm that after this and moving forward, we're not making any committee removing people that where we those committees can't operate, right? They're still able to operate as is, and is that what I'm understanding?
No, I mean, the ad hoc committee will convene to follow the schedule, which certainly, in accordance with the brief, there are holdover members, and their position would be up to be refilled, but they're eligible to apply for that. So, no, you're not forcing anybody off the committee, but everybody's seat is going to come up for an appointment to a term. But everyone is eligible at this point.
Yeah.
Question off.
Just
to clarify also, so let's look at under the draft policy, when we look at, say, the Health and Wellness Committee, that's probably the one that's been the least contentious, so to speak, as far as conversations. But we've got positions 10 and 11. They don't start until 2025 to 2031. We appoint members this year, so we want to fill the committee. We will appoint at least a couple of people two people for positions 10 and 11, and they will serve until 2025. And then because they've got to be appointed to a 6-year term.
Actually, that's a mistake there. When I helped draft this, but that date should be 2023 because that position's vacant now. The only new positions that would start in 25 are going to be for the firefighter advisory, where you all wanted to add 2 more members to that.
Okay.
And that would occur in 25. So we can clean that up, but that should say for 10 and 11 under Health and Wellness, that should say 2023. So we'll change the date span on that. But, yes.
Okay. Well, so let me throw.
Those are currently vacant spots, and that right now that committee doesn't even have a quorum, so we need to get that committee filled.
So there is a hypothetical, and I won't mention.
Wow.
I won't, I won't mention the name, but it did come up yesterday.
Sure.
So it just turns it in, just leave it as a hypothetical.
Sure.
So you've got someone on a committee that's turning in their resignation, and their spot is, say, a 2026 or 2027, not to narrow it too much.
Mm-hmm.
But to fill their spot, we're going to appoint someone
to
now
complete it. Yeah.
Yep.
And then their 6-year term will not start unless they get reappointed.
We would have to address that position again to start that 6-year term to be in accordance with the state law.
Yes. Okay. I just want to be.
So if somebody leaves before their term expires, we have to put in a stopgap. So we would appoint somebody to finish that term. The same thing happens with the commission.
Right.
And they'll finish that term, but then that position would be up again. That individual would certainly be eligible because they just completed the term. They didn't have a full term.
And I apologize for belaboring the topic, but I was really just wanting to make sure on the record that we're all very clear, because this is the crux of what has taken us so long to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not arguing it. I just want to make sure that we're all very clear in the understanding of what we're talking about. Thank you.
So in actuality, on the health and wellness, we've got 5 spots empty because we're adding new, but there's 2, and the chairman is no longer on the commission, so that's another spot that's empty.
Right. So, I mean, we'll have to fill 5 seats there. So that's going to be the hardest one.
Now, the
conversation yesterday.
That we need 5 people on the health and wellness committee?
Hold on, we're not ready to take applications.
I know.
Let's put the horses out there yet. I don't have them tied up.
We need to start thinking about it.
Well, Jim.
Just a note that you guys all have the information that you're discussing. Nobody out here has it, so.
It's available on the website in the notebook. That's the way the
I didn't see it. I didn't see it in the notebook, so I must have missed it. Okay, I'll go look. Thanks.
Okay. Commissioners, anything else? Okay, I'm going to circle back to Commissioner Hamilton because I think you had made a motion earlier when you started talking to
accept this.
To accept the internal policy.
Yes.
Right, as the first step.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I have a motion on the floor.
Second.
I have a second by Commissioner Coatney. Is there any other discussion on that? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Okay. So the next step in the implementation piece of this that I'd like to do is to form an ad hoc committee made up of commissioners. We've been tackling this since the beginning at the commissioner level, since it was brought forward by Sunset. So for that committee, it'll be a 5-person committee. I'd like to appoint Commissioner Coatney as the chair. Also serving on that committee will be Commissioners Wilson, Commissioner Glenn, Commissioner Smith, and Commissioner Johnson. And if you guys could work with staff and figure out what that order is going to be for how we're going to move forward with hopefully getting those job descriptions put together, getting that advertised so that we can move forward and get these positions filled so that we can get back to doing the full scope of the business of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection, I would appreciate that help.
Mr. Chairman, so
Commissioner.
In the past we have put members of those committees on an ad hoc committee. Is that something we're stepping away from? Or?
I'm not saying that we can't still accept their input, but for the sake of time and expediting this, because we have talked about it too long already, I would like to keep it at the commissioner level to move it forward so that hopefully we can come back at our next meeting and get this behind us once and for all.
Can you give us the names again?
So Commissioner Coatney is the chair, Commissioners Wilson, Glenn, Smith, and Johnson. And certainly the members and the chair people specifically of those subcommittees are going to be vitally important to this process. And I know that you'll be able to work with them to get whatever information you need and get their input to develop whatever those job descriptions or whatever you want to call them are going to look like so that we can get these posted and advertised and get the process moving forward.
Mr. Coatney, would there be a chance we could gather after this meeting just for 10 minutes to
absolutely
make sure we're headed in the right direction from the staff side.
And if the other members of the committee are available, that would be great too.
I know the other thing that we talked about, and I just mentioned this a little bit in the workshop yesterday, was the desire of staff not to push all these out at one time just for the sake of processing that whole process of applications and not get hit all at once. I don't know if we officially kind of prioritized, but obviously through the conversations even this morning, health and wellness seem to be the priority is they're the most members down, and they're not able to even do business until we get some members put on that
yes, sir.
On that committee. So I think after looking at it, it looked like curriculum and testing might be second, and then firefighter advisory might be third, just because of the way that they're structured and not having, you know, enough people or people that are going to be terming off. So does that sound...
If we have enough time to do it in the calendar year.
I think there'll be time. There'll be some work, but we can get it done. And so I've got health and wellness first, then C&T, and then firefighter advisory.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the goal is to have this in motion by the time we come back to our next meeting.
Yes. We'll get on. That's why I'm hoping to get with them for a few minutes here, and we can start to make some progress and get this going.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, any other questions or comments on item 12? Okay. We will move to item 13.
Matters from the agency chief, including A, update regarding agency duties and responsibilities, B, decision of the agency chief in contested cases and consent orders, C, status regarding division functions, including training approval and testing that involves test-administered training approvals, record reviews, and online training audits, as well as certification and professional development, including training applications if SEC seals issued, certifications issued, training facilities, curriculum development, and library resource requests. Then compliance, including biennial inspections, compliance officers training, issues involving regulated entities, and finally information technology, including public website design, farm and phyto improvements, CAPS, IT security policy, and service requests.
Good morning again. So under A, just an update, a couple things. First, hopefully nobody had any trouble finding us here at the new location. And if the map and directions helped you, we owe the kudos for that to Grace Wilson, who put that together for us and got it out. And hopefully it was beneficial. I heard a lot of people say yesterday that they were reading it all the way into their parking spot. So hopefully it helped. But kudos to Grace for getting that done. Next, I need to introduce our newest employee, and we are at full staff here, Miss Chara Fernandez. She's in here somewhere.
This is right.
There she is. So Chara is working out. We've actually got two people now because there's so much going on working on curriculum with the curriculum and testing committee. And Chara was a previous agency employee, and when she saw the position open, she came back, and the selection committee felt she was the best fit for that. And so we're happy to have her here, they hit the ground running. They had their first meeting with C&T last week. She got here just in time for the IFSAC review, and I'll get into that in a little bit. And so we're happy to have her on board. The next thing under A, obviously we've moved. You all got to see the facility yesterday. If anybody wants to get a short grand tour for a nickel, we'll arrange that after the meeting. And get you to do it. But we're very proud of the facility. I think the parking's better. I think the general location is better. We got away from downtown, and we have a lot of space. We went from a space that was just over 4,000 square feet. We have more than 9,000 square feet here that's been allotted to the agency. While currently we're the only state agency in this building, there could be more, so it's not necessarily our building, but we're the only ones here right now. So we're going to make ourselves at home, and we'll work with any other agencies to join us. But we're happy to be here, and we appreciate y'all's support in getting this done. Next, I'll give you an update. The legislature gave us funding for 12 vehicles. I'm happy to report that we have received 9 Toyota Tundra trucks, and they are on the road. The compliance officers are all driving state vehicles now, and I get reports from happy compliance officers every week that it's just changed their mode of operation, and they're getting a lot more done. Just as a simple fact of the matter, they spent their first day every week working on rent cars and getting them picked up and all of that. Now that on their first day of the week, most of them are knocking out training facility audits, which we weren't not getting done to the rate that we wanted to be able to do that. And their biggest complaint is that while they used to read all their weekend emails sitting at the car rental place, now they're having to do that early in the morning before they hit the road. So
So far, it's been good. There'll be some growing pains with having a fleet of vehicles, and we're working through that. We've got some great staff members that are, we're going to make that work and figure it out. The last three vehicles are due sometime in the May, June area, and as soon as we get those and get them registered with the state, we'll have them on the road as well. But again, we're proud of that. And that first time the agency's had state vehicles since the mid-90s, so we're happy to have that. That's making our operation a lot better. There was nothing under B, which is contested cases. Under C, just an update. You saw the update reports in your notebook, but in addition, I want to elaborate on a couple of those. Our online testing centers. When I first got here 4 years ago, we had just over 32 across the state, and with some great staff and some aggressive staff and a lot of hard work. Today, we have a total of 95 testing centers across the state of Texas. Clearly, we still have some gaps. There are, we added 9 new ones just this quarter, and we have 4 that are pending in the San Antonio area. And I can tell you that our biggest testing center deserts are on either side of San Antonio. So between Houston and San Antonio and then west of San Antonio to El Paso, we don't really have any. While there's not much to work with out there, the staff's working on that. We're trying to get more. Also, once you get south of San Antonio until the Corpus area, there's not a lot. And when you get in the valley, we have seen quite a number of new testing centers in the valley, which has been very helpful. And so we continue to do that. The benefit of these online testing centers is we can do the online testing, which frees up staff, in particular our compliance officers who are having to proctor these exams across the state, and they can focus on compliance inspections and investigations and things of that nature. So again, the compliance officers are able to focus on doing their job without having to do a bunch of other stuff, and it's been very helpful. And it's another indication of how all the staff works together to get our jobs done. We had our IFSAC review for our accreditation. It was time for our review. All in all, we did well, just like with any audit, just like with a compliance inspection at a fire department. You come in, you take a look at everything, you identify where you could do better, and they gave us a list of things we need to work on to improve. Staff's working on that, and I can tell you that we had a March 31 deadline to make all these changes or implementations, and we are up to date on all but one, and they're about 2 weeks out from having that completed. And so we're getting that done pretty quick. And again, extremely proud of the staff. I have nothing to do with that. Don't even understand everything they're doing sometimes, but they're knocking it out. And every week we talk, and they're telling me what we're getting done. The bulk of it was test questions. One of the biggest improvements we're going to be able to make is using test banks from the publishing companies who are writing the books. And previously that wasn't allowed, so our curriculum and testing committee were having to write questions and update questions, and it was a great deal of work on their part. I think that's going to do nothing but get better and easier as we move forward, because now we have test banks that are approved that we can use. So we're looking forward to that, but we're good with this act, and hopefully at the next meeting I can show you our new certificate that we're all up to date and good for another 4 years. Let's see. The last thing, really, is that the cancer awareness training, you all passed a rule last year in 435.31, that by December of this year, all current certified firefighters had to have the cancer awareness training. Working with compliance, we've run the list. We understand how many individuals and how many departments are not complete on that yet, and the compliance officers are starting to remind them that we need to knock that out, and we're going to stay on that so that by December everybody is up to speed. And then after that December date, any new firefighter that becomes certified will have to have that training. And we're already seeing that. We're seeing academies now graduate students who have the training. So that the last piece of that's working good. It's just getting all the departments caught up. And even the largest departments in the state, they're all over 50 or 60% compliant. They just have a few stragglers, and we're just going to work with them to make sure we complete that. So that's going well.
I really don't have anything else. I know that was a lot in a short amount of time. I'll happy to answer any questions you might have about anything that's going on.
Commissioners, any questions for Chief Wisco or staff? Okay. Thank you for that report.
Thank you.
We'll move to item 14.
Personal matters regarding the appointment, employment, compensation, evaluation,
reassignment,
and duties of the agency chief.
That means I get to stay a few months.
All right. Commissioners, anything on item 14? Okay. If not, we'll move to item 15.
Adjourn the meeting.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Wilson. Second by Commissioner Cantu. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion passes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending today. If you would like a tour of the third floor to see where the people you talk to on the phone or your email will work, Chief Wisco or staff will be happy to show you that. We look forward to having you back here at the next meeting. Thank y'all. This meeting is adjourned.